Roy, do you have something in your heart to share with the body? Not a word. Okay. Mama, do you have something to tell us about this boy?
He is the word. He is the word.
He is the word. Yes, he is the word. Come on, do you have something to tell us about this boy? Mamas always have something to say about the boy.
Come on.
To God be the glory.
Come on. Amen.
I want to give God thanks and praise for the miracle he has brought into Roy's life. I watch Roy go to death door and the Lord has brought him out. What can I say but thank you, Jesus, because you're always doing great things.
Yes,
I'm truly thankful to God for what he has done. It's a miracle after miracle where Roy is concerned. He came home and he was doing good, and we thought he was doing good, until complaining for pain in his chest. The visiting nurse came to see him and figured he was looking good. He got to take him back to Bay State. When he get back to Bay State, they run the IRS test. They said the heart contained fluid around it like a bag. They got to take him back into surgery to pull that blood out. And, you know, it makes us stop and think, oh, great God is. What a mighty God he is. When he had the heart attack and the doctor told me that he might not make it, and I said, oh, I know the Lord. I said, I got to tell you something. The Bible tells us that we must be bold. And this is one time I got to tell you where I stand. I say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a praying mother. And I know the Lord got to brought him out. I say, you go with the Lord. And all of you who are going in, I call about six doctors. I say, may the Lord cover them with the blood. But most of all, may Jesus Christ be in the midst. Be your hands and your eyes while you work. I know you're going to be all right. I say, have no fear. You're going to be all right. But when I went up on the fifth floor to wait for him, I didn't see anyone around but one man waiting for his wife through the same operation. And I sit there and let the Holy Spirit say, go and talk with him. And I went over, but he wasn't too friendly. But I told him, have faith in Jesus Christ, because he's the healer, he's the miracle worker, he's the doctor downstairs in that operation room working. Do not be afraid. Do not let fear take you over. But look up and know that Jesus Christ is in control. And about between 12:30 going up to 3 o'clock, I was alone. And you know, the devil is a liar. I kind of feel the pressure of what taking place coming over me. And I say, no. I say, Lord, you brought me from 2 o'clock today until this time. The doctor told me between 14 to 18 hours surgery. Can't rush it. I had to take his own time. I said, that's all right. Somebody greater than you will give you the patience to go through and do what you have to do. And when I sit there and I think, no one, start to feel a little bit discouraged. I said, no, that God doesn't. Jesus Christ doesn't put the spirit of fear in us. And I get up and I start to walk towards the desk. And I heard the Lord say, you're not alone. I am with you.
Amen.
I said, thank you, Lord. I know you are with me because this one, no fear in the midst. You just put me here to wait patiently. And when I turn around, my eyes make four with my bishop from my old church. And he's a praying man. And when I say, my Lord, he said, you didn't think I was going to stay away. I was at a revival and came in, and I was just getting sick. In the Lord, what to, you know, what the Bible verse going to be for tomorrow, what to preach about. And he said, I saw my machine flashing, and when I play it, I hear your voice, I hear Angela's voice. I know something was wrong. I would have got the matches. I called my wife at work and told her I'm going to be a state. And, it, you know, it just embrace one to another, knowing that he believe in Jesus Christ and I'm standing on these promises of God. It just gives you that strength to know that everything going to be all right. And he stayed with me until 3:30 the nurse came and see me and said they should bring him up. He said, when they bring him up and I get settled, I'll come back and see you. I got to make sure all the vital, the machine working on him before I can come back for you. And while I was there, there's a nurse passed me there. She said to me, say, you don't see your son yet? I said, no. He says, all right, come with me. I said, you sure they're going to allow you to take me, dog? He said, no, don't worry. It's full time, you see. And when I went in, the nurse was checking the computer and all the different machines and all the different things they have. I never know so much things they put on you when you have that kind of surgery. He has 4 computers telling them different things. While they hook him up, the computer telling him much medicine he get in, tell the vital sign, and all the different records and things. And I just stand here and look. And I say, God, you're so good. You're a merciful Father. What a great God you are. I said, Jesus Christ, you give your life on Calvary for us. And you prove yourself over and over to us. But this is one time I know you are real. And I believe in full healing because you are the healing Savior. My brother said, I heard you in the spirit, John Mahan. And he said, let's lift him up in prayer. Then we can leave him. He's all right. He's in a safe place. He's in the hands of the Master. I thank God for victory over this one. Thank him because it was, I can tell you, it was something else, but God see me through and see me through. And every day of our life, we have to give him thanks. I tell my son, do not take what happened to him lightly. Mm-hmm. But remember each day to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for his love and his grace and his mercy, he wouldn't be sitting here this Sunday morning. So I give him all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful works he has done in our life. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. See, the son didn't have much to say, but the mama said it right. Amen? Oops, he's changing his mind. Come on up, man. Come on. Give him a clap offering. The only one that read through it, obviously, is Roy.
I have to admit, I kind of misunderstood you. We started off with a prophetic word. Did anyone have one? I heard them giving. And then you said something to me, and I was like, I don't have any prophetic word. I've never had one since I've been here, so no, I don't have one.
Oh, yes,
I'm
you
misunderstood.
Do.
I misunderstood. What I want to do is thank everyone who was praying for me and kept me in prayer. When they told me initially what was going to happen, you know, I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't feel good. Now, all of a sudden, my stomach keeps hurting me. My stomach's hurting. Now it's getting painful. Now it's getting real painful. So when I saw the doctor, I thought that they were going to pump my stomach. I'm thinking, well, you know, I ate like 10:30, 11:30. I don't food poisoning. I don't think that's it. But I'm not thinking it's serious. What made me know it was serious when the gentleman told me, he said, you have 10 minutes to go into surgery. Call whomever you wish. We're going to take an emergency surgery. And it seemed to me they kept stopping doctors as they were going through the door. I must have came and changed a shift. And, you know, tap one over there, and they walk over to me. Tap another one over here, and he comes over to me. And I'm on a gurney. How many people do you need to pump someone's stomach? I got about 4 doctors around me by that time, and I'm like, I don't like this. So what I did, the first thing I did was, like, I'm going into emergency surgery. Like, what the hell? Man, I said, okay, call my sister, ask her to call Kim, ask her to call Tammy, ask her to call Bishop Campbell. I said, my sister will know what that means. And then I didn't remember anything until everybody was in my room. But what I do know is that prayer kept me, God kept me. And I want to thank all the things that's been praying for me through my time of need, through my trials, even up to now. I thank you because I know it's prayer that kept me.
Amen.
The doctors are there. They mean well. But it's God that kept me. It's God's hand that's been on me. And I just want to thank you. I've had visitations and all the kind words. And everybody's been coming by. And that's great. That support helped a lot. I appreciate it very much. Because, you know, when they started getting the they wouldn't even give me the details. And I think that I thought for a moment, I said, maybe God is closing his mouth. Because he wouldn't tell me. I said, what's going on? And it looked like he was going to start, and he just kind of dropped it off. It's probably for the best. Because after they showed me some of the things that they had done to me between my sister, my mother, Bishop Campbell, they told me I was in one of the room I was recovering. They got like several poles like this coming from the ceiling on the floor, and they got all kinds of plugins. And he told me when he first came and seen me, he said, every single pole had something plugged into it and then plugged into me. Mm-hmm. I have no recollection of that. When I woke up, there was nothing plugged into me. When he walked in, everything was plugged into me. And these poles weren't even like next, like one is here, and then one is there, and then the other pole is over there. So I'm trying to figure out where I was, where all these could plug into me. See, I didn't know. They had another thing. I think my sister was telling me they were pulling some tube out of my mouth, and they just like kept pulling and put. I'm just glad I don't remember that. Fear. I'm serious. Fear could have set in. You wake up and you see all this stuff plugged into you. Fear could set in, and I'm quite sure it's quite uncomfortable. I don't remember any of that either. So the guy kept me through all of it. I don't remember nothing uncomfortable. I just remember waking up and seeing a bunch of people, my mom and a couple of other people, and I'm just like, wow. And just feeling really weak and tired and a little sore. So thank you again. I'm here because of God. Jesus. Came home, almost had another encounter. God was keeping, like she said, God keeping an eye on me. New visiting nurse, she wanted to get started early, you know, because I'm the part of her schedule that doesn't fit. So if she comes sees me early, then the rest of her day goes normal. Sure, come on by. I remember I got up, went to the bathroom, which is the room next door, came back to my bedroom. I was out of breath. I was doubled over, laboring really hard to breathe. She's like, you don't look well. She said, are you always like this? I'm like, no. She said, how you feeling? I said, I feel like I just ran 1,000 miles. I said, I didn't do anything, put this type of exertion on myself. I just went up and got to the bathroom, and you came through the door. This is the beginning of my day. So she's like, you know what? Let me take your oxygen. We're going to play it safe. We're going to call Bay State. And that's when they found out they had all the water around my heart. And, you know, this is the average size of everyone's heart. The size of your fist, yeah. There's a little bag around it. So I'm thinking, there's a little bit of water around it. But if you don't have room to expand, it doesn't matter. What they showed me was this big jug like this, and it was still overflowing. They said, that's the water around your heart. Because of the blood thinner they gave me, it made me colder than normal. My mom kept complaining, you're running out the heat. But I'm cold. 3 days. I can't do the exercises they gave me. They had some simple exercises for me to do, you know, get up and walk around. Couldn't do it. Too cold. Got up, house too cold, back in the bed. Second day, got up, too cold, house in the bed. The day the visiting nurse came, got up, too cold, going back to bed, but I'm going to do some exercise, and all that stuff happened, and I was like, I ain't doing any exercise. Good thing I didn't. That probably would have made a bad situation worse. And I said, that's God. Because if I had got up, I started doing exercise, I would have got my heart pumping, I would put a strain on it, probably would have built up more fluid. Amen. So it was impossible in the condition I felt to do anything. And when she got there and witnessed it, she was just like, you look terrible. Let me test this. That's not good. According to this, you have no oxygen. You should be comatose. You're still talking. I'm going to call this in. I'm glad she did. Probably saved my life. So, well, you know, God saved my life, but you know, they put the people there. So I am, again, thankful. I'm feeling much better, you know, still a little bit sore. But, you know, I did something the other day, and I forgot they don't want me lifting more than 10 pounds for like a real long time. I don't know if it's 2 months. It's just really long. They don't want to lift me more than 10 pounds. Give you an idea, though, a gallon of milk is 8 pounds. They don't want me lifting more than 10, so... Us being guys, it's very easy to think about picking things up. Definitely can't pick up my nephew. He weighs a little bit more than 10 pounds. They're all expecting me to pick him up. I got another one. You've seen the other two when they're here.
Yes.
So I got to be careful. And one night, I wasn't thinking. I'm ready to go to bed, and things keep falling off my dresser. And I'm like, somebody move my dresser. So I got up and just started to push it without thinking. And by the time I realized this is going more than I should lift, I let go. I was like, okay, I feel okay. Yeah, I escaped. I went to turn. I had sharp pains. I kept hearing cracking and popping. And you know, like when you take the little bubble wrap and you just start squeezing it, that's what I hear all the time. So I was just like, oh my gosh, with these pains. I hope I didn't pull or tear anything because it's cartilage. So what joining a rib cage together is this big thing of cartilage. It's not that strong. That's why they don't want me driving car, lifting anything. So they cancel my physical therapy. But God brought me this far, so I'm pretty sure everything will be okay. But the pain has subsided since that night, so thank you very, very much. And thank you for coming to visit me. Pastor Kim came down there several times, Jackie, Judy, so I appreciate that, everyone, and all your prayers.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Father, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see. A heart to perceive what your Spirit is saying to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to come with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. I'd like to make one word clear as we come to it. It's the end word of verse 2. The word quiver is not a shaking going on. It's a quiver. It's a container made usually of leather. And it's strapped onto your back. And you store arrows in it. So if you don't know that word, this particular revelation may not be fully understood. I can tell you right now that Isabel was an arrow, and she shot the truth out of her mouth and touched someone in need. And I could actually point to all of you, because all of you have had this experience, but you may not comprehend who's pushing your buttons. And I pray that this word will awaken you to how precious you are to change the world around you, including those you love. Got it? Verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. Israel is the word prince with God. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand. And my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. That's a story that you heard of testimony this morning by Roy. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob Those are the men of flesh. Jacob is always in reference to your soul man. And bring back those of Israel that I have kept. Israel is the man of the spirit. It's your inner man. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who has despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servants of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down. Because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Did you hear that? It's not of your doing, even though you make free will decisions. You can delay the call of God and he'll let you stay in the quiver, even though you may be an arrow, until you decide to open your mouth and obey. You can sit in that quiver for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I don't care what the number is, you can die and never open up. Because you bow to fear of judgment and criticalness because of your own persecution.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you bow to that fear, you become a slave to whom? Romans 6:16, to whom you bow to, you become a slave to. And the spirit of fear will destroy you. You can be a Christian all your life. You can be a Christian in and out of any church situation. But you will never accomplish what God has intended. You'll never be his servant until you open your mouth.
Come on, you are preaching.
Yes, I know I'm preaching. Come because on. You've got to wake up. Time is short.
Jesus, yes.
He is coming back. He's going to be in a people. Look at your neighbor. Jesus is alive in you now. And he can't open your mouth unless you bow to the servanthood of his majesty. Not your own majesty. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Most High God. Just like me. So follow the leader in me. And watch the enemy run. If that woman had not obeyed, would that other lady that was in the surgery come out of it alive? Do you know?
No.
We don't know, but God knows. She had the courage to open her mouth. She obeyed the Holy Spirit. The results are no longer her problem. Amen? Roy was ordained of God to go through a test that he didn't like.
Amen.
And to be honest, I didn't like it either. But I guarantee you, what he has learned cannot be learned in a book. It cannot be learned by people unless they've been there. And one of the things that I kept reminding Roy of is my brother's been through this. And I can tell you that without the prayer support, he would have told me it was impossible for him to stay alive. But he went through it, and I was able to carry a little bit of the weight for him. And for that, I'm grateful. Did I like it watching my brother? No. Did I like it watching Roy? No. But I can tell you this, when we walked down that hallway that first time, it was intense. It was intense. And I was excited, and I loved the reality of him being here today. To be able to share his heart. Because you see, he can preach to those that could never be reached.
Come on.
And be touched by those and to those that may have the experience down the road, and they'll have a recollection of the words that came out of his mouth and his mom, and there will be faith.
Amen.
Because without faith, you can't please God.
Come on.
That's right.
I want you to reflect the reality that it's a polished arrow. It's not a dried up one. It's been prepared for use. it's been sharpened to reach its destination. It is in your heart. It is the word of the living God that He has invested in you. It's not your great idea. It's Him within you that will change the earth. It'll change the earth next to you, meaning the man or woman of flesh that doesn't have a clue about the Creator. And you may be the only arrow they'll ever be able to receive from. You say, why was I chosen? For His purpose. Why would He choose somebody like me, full of all kinds of problems? Why? Because you're so focused on them, He can't heal them. When you and I focus on the problem, He'll never heal them. Because you're still in charge. And you're still scrubbing, trying to get yourself clean. Wasting your efforts on self-efforts. And while you're producing all this self-effort, you're going to feel good about yourself because you're going to be so full of pride, nobody will get through to you. Including God. James 4 says, I am against the proud. I am against the religious. And I know I'm touching some of you right now. But you listen to the word. You become an arrow. I'm not the only arrow in this place. You become the arrow. In His quiver, not my quiver. Not in your own quiver. Because if you're acting out of selfishness, or if you're acting out of pity, it's not the Holy Ghost. Hear me. He has a plan for your life, and get into connection with Him so that He can complete what He wants in you and what He wants from you. A few weeks ago, I met a young man. And I shared a part of this. I was doing exercises because I need it. And I kept hearing as I was going around the circle at the Y, walking, there's a deaf and dumb spirit that's working on this boy. And as I walked around, it came back a couple of times and I said, Lord, what do I do? I don't know how to do this. At that moment, God was sharpening my, what? No, my arrow. I was about to open my mouth, but I didn't know what to say. So I went around another time, and I'm praying in the Spirit, having no clue what's next. Finally, I got to where he was, and I stopped, and I said, are you okay? And he bowed his head, because it's like a desk thing. And he says, no. And he kind of laid his hands and arms on the desk and bowed his head. And I went up to him like this, and he's over here. His head's down on that desk, and his eyes are kind of focused inside. And I said, I don't know why, but I said, I've been praying for you, and I care about what happens to your young man, but I don't know what's next, but something is hurting. And I said, if that's true, I said, would you look at me? And he turned his head and he looked at me from the corner of his eye with one eye. And I said, if you want to keep on going, you're going to have to speak. Are you interested in getting free from what's going on right now? And out of his mouth came, yes. Are you absolutely sure you want to continue this conversation? Yes. Good. Then we'll go further. And we went on to talk. The conversation got to the place where I was able to ask him, why was death supposedly a great gift? And was he planning suicide? And he said, yes. We prayed. 45 minutes or so later, I was able to walk away and go about the next level of what God wanted for that day. 3 days, 4 days went by, and he was still on my heart. And the accuser was on my case. Anybody go? The accuser who tells you you did it wrong, you didn't say the right words, blah, 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 and you should have never done that. I came through the door, and there he was. And he was about from here to where Judy is right now in the back of the room. And when he saw me go through the door, his hand went straight up in the air and he started to wave. And I headed towards him. He gave me a hug. And I said, "How do you feel?" He said, "I feel great." He shared his heart. I've seen him 3 more times. My last conversation with him was that his uncle is a pastor. And all of how I was so conditioned to think that, you know, he had no knowledge of God. He had a knowledge of God. But he had lost it. Because the accuser was so much on him that he didn't want to live anymore. You mean he was a believer all the time? Yes, he was. But he was a very young believer. And now he had believed that he was no longer of value to God or to anyone else because of circumstances that have happened. He shared with me certain personal things, and that's none of my business to give to you. But what I can tell you is this. If I had not been the sharpened arrow that day, would he still be alive? Would that gentleman have a wife today? We don't know the answer to that one, but I do know the answer to the boy. God willing, I will be going out with lunch for him this week and to meet his girlfriend. Why? Because I was a willing arrow to be shot out of his quiver to accomplish his purpose. Would you close your Bibles, please? Would you put it on your chair and stand up? Because you see, the word spoken out of your mouth is going to have value. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believing you have what? Confession. 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 If you don't speak, you don't get what?
Results.
I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I surrender my mouth to you.
Lord, I surrender my mouth to you.
My heart to you.
My heart to you.
My emotions to you.
My emotions to you.
I release my soul.
I release my soul.
Totally to you.
Totally to you.
And I'm accepting,
and I'm accepting
that you can use my spirit.
That you can use my spirit.
That you can use my mouth.
That you can use my mouth.
And I will declare,
and I will declare
the word of life.
The word of life.
To those that are hurting in my life.
To those that are hurting in my life.
In the circumstances of the week ahead.
In the circumstances of the week ahead.
Where you will show me what to say.
Where you will show me what to say.
You will speak through my mouth.
You will speak through my mouth.
And salvation will be touching.
And salvation will be touching.
And manifesting.
And manifesting.
Into those that you have prepared.
Into those that you have prepared.
For me to minister to.
For me to minister to.
Maybe it's just a word.
Maybe it's just a word.
Maybe it's just a sentence.
Maybe it's just a sentence.
Maybe it's a testimony.
Maybe it's a testimony.
But I release my hands.
But I release my hands.
For you to use.
For you to use.
To lay on the sick.
To lay on the sick.
That they may recover.
That they may recover.
It's up to me to open my mouth.
It's up to me to open my mouth.
To bring salvation.
To bring salvation.
To bring healing.
To bring healing.
And to bring deliverance.
And to bring deliverance.
And it starts with me.
And it starts with me.
All this crazy stuff in my head.
All this crazy stuff in my head.
That says I'm not good enough.
That says I'm not good enough.
I renounce now.
I renounce now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That the love of Christ.
That the love of Christ.
The anointed one.
The anointed one.
Is in me.
Is in me.
To release healing.
To release healing.
And salvation and life.
And salvation.
To a dying world.
To a dying world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to go forth.
I'm ready to go forth.
I'm in your quiver, Lord.
I'm in your quiver.
You're polishing my arrow right now.
You're polishing my arrow. right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And it will bring salvation.
And it will bring salvation.
Healing and deliverance.
Healing and deliverance.
In this region.
In this region.
For your glory.
For your glory.
For your glory.
For your glory.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
You may be seated and share.